My name is Carol Ayat, and I am a member of the ISM Services Group Leadership Council, and I will be the moderator on today's call. This is the Services Group 12th chat session that we've hosted, and the topic of today's chat session is 10 ways to reduce equipment lease spending. All participants should have received information on how to download the presentation from a secured website. At the end of the presentation, there will be 10 to 15 minutes for Q&A. Instructions will be provided prior to the Q&A session on how to get into the queue to ask a question. Now I'd like to introduce our presenter for today, Mary Redman. Mary is a speaker, entrepreneur, author, and business owner. She founded her company, Independent Lease Review, Inc., in 2002. She is the author of The Lease Speak System, Your Guide to Saving Money on Leases. For 21 years, Mary worked for some of the biggest leasing companies in the world. For the past 6 years, her firm has worked exclusively as a client-side advocate. Thus far, her review team has negotiated lease savings for clients of over $4.5 million. Customers range from small and large corporations, law firms, city and county governments, and schools. I would like to now turn the call over to Mary for today's presentation entitled 10 Ways to Reduce Equipment Lease Spending.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Carol, and thank you to the ISM Services Group for inviting me to be a part of today's call. Well, if you have the slides in front of you, and if it's ever happened to you, like for Mr. Butterworth, all of a sudden you read the end of the lease options, and you knew you were in big trouble. We call those kind of problems the gotchas. And so Mr. Butterworth has a case of the gotchas. Let's do an overview right now of the points we want to cover. Now, if you came for only 10 ways to reduce spending, I'm going to disappoint you and say I've only got 21 today, so probably you could hang up right about 15 minutes after the hour because you will have gotten the 10 spending tips, or reducing spending tips for the day. But if you want to stay with us for the full call, there'll be at least 21 tips. Now, we talk about fine print, and all of you know that lease contracts come in about 6-point to 4-point type. And it's a challenge. Hang in there with us throughout this call. I'm going to give you tools and tips, the things that we have developed over 27 years. We'll cover 20 new terms in the workshop today. And I'll show you ways to implement some changes in your office procedures so that you can review leases quicker. Now we can move to slide 4, which it says, why do you want to be here? Why would you even join this call? We can save you money. You go, well, my company in this economic time, they're going to be asking me to save a lot of money. How much money? We find that when we do a really thorough review, with some of the tips and techniques that you'll learn today, you should be able to reduce your spending by 5%. Keep at it a little longer, you could reduce spending by 10 to 15%. And in these economic troubled times, I mean, if you read your business journal, every day I'm seeing more companies laying off people, and it gets me pretty depressed. And they have to make those decisions based on who's producing, who's not. So when you are showing and demonstrating savings by reviewing lease contracts in a more effective way, and you have reduced company spending, you've brought more to the bottom line, document those things that you do so that you have them to show management what you've done for them lately. You're going to save time. Our systems teach you to break the leases into more manageable pieces, kind of in chunks, so you can get your arms around them quicker, more rapidly, and spot problems. Spot them faster. Frustration, if you have to deal with fewer phone calls from departments in your company, like accounting, who said, why is this first lease payment so much? You know the level of frustration that people deal with in leases. So in slide 5, we talk about when can you negotiate a lease? And I contend that it's before you sign it, during the lease, and definitely before the end of the lease. It's never too late to negotiate. Many of you tell me that you inherited leases from whoever had the job before you, or your company merged with another company, and you again inherited leases. I'm going to tell you one, the first tip here is open up those files, be proactive, take out the leases you inherited or you ended up with in the merger. You're going to have to look at them. There are critical things that you need to look at it. If you don't, you may end up spending a lot of extra money. My first example is I had one client who inherited in a merger a whole bunch of leases from a leasing company. Their terms and conditions that they were always used to was you give notice 90 days before the end of the lease. So they didn't read these leases very closely that they inherited. What they found out is when they were ready to write the notice, they were already too late. They should have given notice 120 days before the end of the lease. No more than 150, no less than 120 days. If you find that kind of language in those documents from the ones you inherited, please calendar this with a number of people in your company so that everybody knows this group of leases is different. We have to give notice earlier. With the company that I worked with, it cost them in added automatic renewal payments an additional $85,000 because they missed the notice. Now, even if that's happened to you and you've been stuck in that $85,000, that number is negotiable. Don't accept it. So even if you did let those leases roll into renewal, negotiate that $85,000 down. When they called us, they had only gotten $10,000 discount. We went to work. We worked on it for a few phone calls with the leasing company. We cut another $25,000 off of it. So if you've missed notice, don't accept the first number they give you. Negotiate it. You will hear that term throughout my phone call all the next 45 minutes or so. It's never too late to negotiate. So negotiate before is the best time. You can during the lease term, but definitely before the end of the term. Now, on slide 6, we talk about the tools. And you see me holding a legal pad, a ruler, some highlighters. They are not sophisticated tools. What you're not going to like with the simple tools is that I say, read your leases 3 times. And you say, but Mary, I don't have that kind of time. Well, if the dollars are big enough, I'm going to challenge that you really need to read them more than once. The way I learned contract reading was I would read them the first time. I had a master at contracts, and he taught me. I would read it. I'd have to call Paul, and he'd say, what did it say in the end of lease options? And I'd tell him. He goes, nope, that's not what it said. That's what you thought it said. Mary, as you read it, write down what you think it says. And then go back and read it again. Because our minds put in ideas from previous contracts that we have read. The other tip I have here on this is I created a list of gotchas. It has 26 major areas. I would recommend to you that you go through your old leases that you have signed in the past and write down all of the different areas in the lease that should be looked at. It becomes your own checklist. It's what we use, and every time we pull out a lease, we look at our checklist, and it points us right to the problem areas so that I don't gloss over it. There are two areas usually I think when you begin to read a lease. There are either missing documents or you don't know where to look. If you create this checklist, it will point you to the paragraphs that are most critical in nature. I recommend you read the whole lease, but if you just want to hit the high spots, we have 26 of them. I think you better make a list so you know each time you have consistent policies and procedures in place for reading and reviewing lease contracts. As I said a couple minutes ago, I said the second area is missing documents. How are you going to find the missing documents? Well, there's another boring way to do it. You have to go through the master lease and look for every reference of a document name and make sure that that document name has a document to match in your document package. Now, you can spot document names because they're usually in capital letters. This is not like a master's course. Look for the capitalized letters. Those are documents. Find those documents in your package. If you don't have them, require that they be sent to you as part of your initial review process. Why did I learn this? This straggling document problem came up with one of my clients. Kurt had reviewed the master lease, done a great job. What he didn't realize that what the straggling document that came in was called a delivery and acceptance certificate, and it had 5 extra paragraphs on it. He just signed the acceptance. He didn't notice. Too bad he didn't notice. This last-minute document that straggled in on the last day said what the net effect was. It made him pay 3 extra lease payments, and he hadn't even noticed it. There's another huge problem, which I don't have time to go into, but there were 2 sneaky things that showed up at the last minute. So make sure every document that's referenced in the master lease is part of your document package. I have 3 more tips on this slide. Do not accept faxes. Fax copies of documents are unacceptable. Only PDFs. All leasing companies have them. Another point is Post-it notes. I use Post-it notes, and so many of the suppliers at the ISM trade shows have lots of them to give out to you. I use those Post-its color-coded. If I am reading paragraph 3 and it says, you may return this equipment per the terms of paragraph 27, I stop right there. I put a blue Post-it on the return paragraph 3, and I put another blue Post-it on paragraph 27. And then I must read them all as if they are one big paragraph. These are, again, not brain surgery tactics and techniques. You color code the Post-its so that you know I can return this equipment per all this list of stuff in paragraph 27. Now, it's going to take a lot of practice and patience. If you've ever started a workout program at the gym, you work out, you build up your muscles. It's no different with an equipment lease review. If you only see a lease once every 6 to 12 months, how good are your lease review muscles? Not very well practiced, not well honed. So you need to keep in practice, like going to the gym. That's where patience and practice comes in. On slide 7, it says it's in the fine print. I have 4 major types of gotchas on this page. The perpetual lease, and actually it's quite like the evergreen lease. It says you may buy this equipment for a mutually agreed to fair market value. You think, well, what does that mean? Well, if I'm a leasing company and I say to you, my fair market value is $50,000, you agree, right? Because if you don't agree, you're going to have a lease that adds 12 more renewal payments. So you either buy it for a mutually agreed to fair market value or you renew it. And then, of course, in a perpetual or evergreen lease, there's a third option which says you may return the equipment to us, which is very kind and generous, but you must enter into another lease for the same dollar amount, and I, the leasing company, will set the rates at that time. No negotiations. Well, of course, you all are negotiators, so you better negotiate it. But the basic thing is you never get to leave that leasing company in a perpetual lease. You have to bite the bullet somewhere. You buy it for a bad price, or you pay 12 extra renewal payments, or you return it and do another lease with them. I had a university administrator tell me that he ran into the evergreen lease, and it was on laundry equipment. And their automatic renewal wasn't just 12 months. It was for a full 5 years. So he had 5 years, and then the automatic renewal on his perpetual or evergreen lease was another 5. Relocation of equipment. The lease says you can't relocate it unless you get their permission, number one, and that's 30 days before the end of the lease. And second, there may be a relocation fee associated with it. The worst I've ever seen was given to a huge law firm. and it was from their bank-owned leasing company. So supposed to be friendly people, their bank. This lease said, you must pay us relocation fees of $500 per asset and $500 per location per asset. So do the math with me here. If you move a keyboard, a desktop, and a monitor, that's three assets times $500, that's $1,500. And per asset, per location, that's another $1,500. So their redocumentation fees for relocating the equipment, which you did the relocation, was $3,000. Now, that's definitely something you want to strike out of the lease. Read closely, relocation. The dollar buyout, another bad example. I had a client. He lost his lease paperwork. He thought he had a dollar buyout on the end. He had one lease that he had signed in March and one in April. We found some of the documents, but like everybody, you lose some paperwork. So we called the leasing company up. We said, could you send us copies of this lease paperwork for lease number one and lease number two? They sent us the copies. Guess what? It didn't show any dollar out on either one of them. Well, as luck would have it, we found one of those document packages, and lo and behold, there was a dollar buyout. How come the leasing company did not send us those document copies to show us that one of them was a dollar buyout? Gee, I don't know. But sometimes it happens. So my tip here, make sure you've documented a dollar buyout, you have a document in the file, and that you retain copies of all documents. Personal guarantees in slide 8. Well, many of you are in multinational corporations, so personal guarantees are not an issue. But you may have friends who own businesses. In this economic time and state of business, please suggest to them that they negotiate very, very aggressively about not signing personal guarantees. I had a small printer down in Alabama that I was working with recently, and I taught him my lesson. I said, we don't want you to sign a personal guarantee, and I pushed and pushed, and the leasing company gave in. So it may not apply to your office and your own corporation, but your friends may have that. And tell them there are chances to not have personal guarantees today. Copy your lease concerns. This is the one that comes up in the workshops I teach most often. Is my fleet the right size? Gee, I don't know, but my vendors volunteered to come in and take a full study of all of my copier usage. Now, if you're with me here, that would be like the fox guarding the hen house. Put the fox in charge, and guess what? You'll find you don't have enough equipment. You don't have fancy enough equipment. Find an independent outside source. And if you need a source on that, send me an email. I've got a great one who is an independent resource to do the analysis. He doesn't sell copiers. I had a client. They were in the ninth year of a three-year lease on 250 copiers. They were paying the same payment in the ninth year as they were in the fourth year. Now, is that fair? No. They've got really old equipment. They probably have the wrong equipment, and they're paying way too much for really old equipment. Don't let that happen to you. I also had a client that had a billing system that was set up so that they took clicks per month on all of their units. And I said, well, do you know if you're really using that much usage on your copiers? Oh, no, but we're pretty sure it's right. If you're not tracking your copiers closely, you are paying too much. What we found out was, they weren't taking the readings but once a year, and only once a year on about a third of the machines. So when they bragged that they had a low cost per copy plan, they really had no idea what their usage was. Billing problems. I find tremendous numbers of billing problems. I have a resource that tells me that in their auditing, they find 25% of all copier invoices contain errors. Not all of them are errors of the leasing company or the copy maintenance company, but most of them are. So if you are not auditing and reviewing your copy or invoices on a fairly regular basis, you're probably losing a lot of money there. Also, when you have service plans, are you paying too much for your service in your copiers? Most copier contracts, maintenance contracts, are written with an automatic 5 to 10% per year increase. That is not a realistic assessment of the copier maintenance company's costs. So negotiate that down, way down. The fair market value. A lot of you have leases that are called operating leases. And so your accounting department tells you you need a fair market value lease. Here's some words that should send fear into your heart. The in-place fair market value. Well, what is that? Well, in place means how is it working in your operation today? What is it producing for you? I have seen leasing companies add things into the in-place fair market value, such as the cost for the electrical wiring, if you had to run it again, training, installation, cost to cool the room, maybe if it was a big computer system. It has in no way really anything to do with what that used equipment price would be. It's the in-place, in-use value. You may say, well, I saw this computer online for $200, a used one, but the leasing company wants $500 per computer. That's because they, for your company to buy it. That's because they want the in-place, in-use fair market value. You want to negotiate that and change it to one of the options that we'll be talking about in a minute. Here's another bad one, mutually agreed to fair market value. That says, I'm the leasing company and you're not, and you have to mutually agree with me. Remember we talked a few minutes ago about automatic renewals, because if you don't mutually agree with me, your lease will renew. Now, it's not too late to return the equipment, though, and this is where they get you, because they'd say, well, you can return it, but again, you get back into the evergreen lease where you have to do another lease with them. Or you say, I'm going to ship it back to you, and you find out that some of the equipment has been damaged. That's kind of sneaky, too. I just went to a list last night that I had from one of the major computer manufacturers for what their charges were if I wanted to send it back. And I just wrote down a little list, and I said, if these three things happened to the computers I sent back to them, they'd be charging me enough to more than buy it. It was if the keys were damaged and it wouldn't boot and I had a cracked LCD, they were going to charge me $600. So all of a sudden their fair market value in place of $500 is not so bad, because I paid to ship it back and they were going to charge me $600 for damages. So if you get stuck in an in-place, in-use fair market value, be sure that you have found out how much is it going to cost if it's damaged and it gets back to them. Now, the third and fourth options I kind of like. It's a fair market value cap. Cap means you put a lid or a maximum on the purchase price. And we've drafted some language to use in that situation so that you may buy this equipment for the greater of the fair market value, not to exceed 20%. Now, this may send red flags up in your accounting department, so you probably are going to have to craft this language with them so that accounting and tax is still satisfied that the lease, if your goal is to have an operating lease, if somebody in accounting says, oh, you must have an operating lease, you have to work with them to make sure that the fair market value capped purchase amount doesn't cause problems for them. Now, another customized end-of-lease option is the fair market value with appraisals. And there are several issues here. You want to know who's paying for the appraisal. I recommend that in your language you say, you'll get an appraisal for your company and you'll pay for it, and the leasing company will pay for their appraiser. And they come up with a value, and again, you don't want to use the in-place, in-use fair market value. You want to define it just as the used value. So you've come up with a fair market value appraisal. You have the language in the lease that defines how that value will be determined, who will determine that value, and it's usually the average of the two appraisers. Now, if you just have $100,000 worth of equipment, the appraisal language is probably not necessary, because appraisals might cost you, $4,000 or $5,000, depending on the number of units. So think long and hard before you decide that you want to put the appraisal language in there. It better be a lease that has big enough dollars to justify the cost of an appraiser. So there's four ways to have fair market value leases. Two of them are not so good. Two of them are better. Let's move on to other options in your lease. And you see that lady there, she's got boxes all around her in that slide. Well, she's dealing with the return options. Now, one place not to mess around is make sure that you have systems established in your company, and maybe it's in the IT department, to track the software licenses. Because in your lease, it's some of the return provisions in software leases say, if you don't return all the software and all the manuals that came with the software and all the proper documentation, we will assess a fine of up to 2 times the original purchase price if we find you still have that software and you haven't done a proper return. Make sure you read the return provisions very closely on software returns. Now, you may think that those boxes in that cartoon are a joke, but I truly know that some leases have return provisions that say it must come back to the leasing company in the original boxes. And if you don't, you're going to be charged an extra fee for returning it in boxes other than the original manufacturer's boxes. Now, one of the law firm administrators at one of my clients had saved all the boxes, and I figure her high-rise downtown building was something like $50 per square foot for storage of computer boxes. That's not necessary. Take this, save the box stuff out of your lease. Replace it with, it can be returned in acceptable packing material that would be approved by the manufacturer as comparable to the original boxes. How about return penalties? You've got to catch these in the lease. One lease we read said, you can return everything, no problem, but there'll be a 10% restocking fee. So you got a $500,000 lease, that's a $50,000 return and restocking fee, plus you have to pay for the shipping. Another one of our customers told me after the fact that they had received the return provisions, and they were supposed to send all their computers to one town, and they had to package and ship their monitors to another, and then they had to package and ship their printers to yet a third location. Now, when they read the original lease, they didn't see the return provision. They didn't know that this was even going to be possible. So how could you have figured this out in your company? You need to know what the return provisions are before you sign the lease at the beginning. And if you're stuck again in one of those leases you inherited, negotiate. Find out during the lease life, where is it likely that I'm going to have to return this stuff, and begin early to make sure that your return is all to one destination. So in this example that I just gave you, the customer was penalized for what was not in the lease, not for something they read and negotiated out. It was one of those things that was there, but they didn't know it and didn't think about. So when you're making up your checklist of all the stuff to find in your lease, make sure you put on there the things that aren't in the lease but should be, like return provisions. You have to describe it completely so that you know accurately what your return costs are going to be before the lease begins. I have another return problem that came up. It says, if you return these, We have a long time to inspect the equipment. It didn't say in the lease that we had only 30 days to inspect it. And it also said, though, in the lease, while we're inspecting it, you must keep paying rent. So when you're returning it, make sure that you limit how long the leasing company has to inspect the equipment and that you don't pay rent during that inspection period. I had another lease that said you had to have all the equipment back to the leasing company on the last day of the lease. Now that means you deinstall it or take it out of service before the lease is even over. There was no grace period for shipping back. I would recommend here that you insert some language, and we have sample language like this, that says you have 10 days following the completion of the lease to package up all the equipment and get them back to them. And those 10 days are rent-free. So you have some period of time to work and get it all accumulated. When you talk about returning equipment, if you have multiple locations, you have to have systems established if you plan to ship the return equipment from your headquarters or main IT, let's say if it's technology, from one location. Some leasing companies require in the contracts that all equipment come from one destination, so you have to be the accumulator of that equipment. Make sure you have included that in your costs to get it all into your one collecting location, package it up, and ship it back to the leasing company with no lease extension. You can see this is pretty time-consuming. Now, there's one other thing on there, which is automatic renewals on that slide. Well, if you don't manage this very closely and you don't want to own the equipment, you could end up rolling into an automatic renewal that adds 12 payments. What do I recommend here? Automatic renewals be limited to month to month. You don't want to get stuck in a renewal that goes on for 12 months or worse yet, like that laundry equipment example I gave you earlier. It was a 5-year lease and it went for a 5-year automatic renewal. Negotiate month-to-month renewals. Okay, here's our guy studying the lease in the fine print with his magnifying glass. If I forgot to mention, you might need to keep a magnifying glass in your desk. I usually have them in my car, in my desk, everywhere I go, because the fine print will kill you. Now, where does it say anything about the maintenance contract? Well, we say we review leases, but you must review the maintenance contract as well. Every master lease says you must maintain this equipment per the manufacturer's specifications. Usually that means putting a maintenance contract in place. If it's simple equipment like PCs that you could maintain yourself, modify the master lease to say that the leasing company allows you to maintain the following list of equipment. Otherwise, what happens is at the end of the lease, they say, well, what do you mean you didn't have a maintenance contract in place? That's what the lease said you had to do. And they will then require you to go out and get all of the equipment recertified, and you'll have to ship the equipment back to them with certification from an approved maintenance provider that this equipment is all certified to be re-leased again. So if it's self-maintained, make sure you've covered the maintenance portion with either their permission to self-maintain it or that you have an approved maintenance company maintaining your equipment. How about notification periods? There's all kinds of notification periods and gotchas throughout the lease. You have to notify the leasing company a certain period of time before the end of the lease. One of our law firm clients, and I mention law firm because we have done, it's interesting that law firm administrators hire us to read the leases, a lot of their leases, because they know that lawyers read legal, but our review, as many of you do, is for the money in the contract, the terms and the money. So one of our law firm clients, we did an over-the-shoulder audit. That is, everything that had already finalized, we looked back and said, how did these $2 million worth of equipment stack up? How did the leases end up what really happened. Do you have a good relationship with this leasing company? Because we were looking at $2 million, and they had another $8 million under lease with this company. What kind of problems had come up? Well, what we found was their original goal was, I want to own 95%, or I want to return all this equipment. Well, because of poor lease management, they ended up owning 95% of it. The leasing company entered into automatic renewals with them and rewrote the end of leases for an additional 19 payments. The end result on the $2 million that we audited was they spent an additional $300,000 in financing costs over what it would have cost them if they'd had just taken a bank loan out at the very beginning. So I use this example to talk about lease versus buy. How can you do a lease versus buy and choose leasing over a loan if you don't have a good lease management system in place? Because you could get caught in this 19-month extension and rewrite, and your whole plan that leasing was better is blown because the management of those leases wasn't tight enough. I'm going to add one more little thing here called security deposits in this slide. This is important in tracking as well. Many leasing companies say, you give us a security deposit and it's your last lease payment. Or maybe it's not, but you give us a security deposit. They just like to hold on to your money. It's not because you aren't strong for credit. So you give them a security deposit. How are you tracking the return of this money? The same leasing company I mentioned before didn't track it closely enough, and the leasing company held those security deposits for up to 2 years after the end of certain leases. So track security deposits when you pay them. Vehicle mileage and clicks, drips, and tire tread, a lot of you are familiar with this. There is language in the lease that requires you to have limited mileage on vehicles. On copiers, it's a certain amount of clicks. In certain types of automotive equipment, or even like printing equipment, it's how much is fluid dripping out of it. On a forklift, it might be tire tread. Make sure that your return specifications have taken into consideration your operations department, who knows. The people who are operating the equipment and maintaining it know, are these provisions realistic and can you comply? Because if you can't comply, this will add extra cost to your leases. Now here's grit your teeth. Property taxes. If you, again, are not auditing, are the property taxes being assessed correctly by the leasing company, you probably have another area to look at. I did an article, a research article for a printing industry publication, and I talked to 6 commercial printers. All of them had called into the leasing, or rather the Printing Industry Association with complaints. They had been overcharged on property taxes. And so I wrote an article that said you've got to audit property taxes based on this history with these 6 particular small printers. How do you know? Depends on your state, whether you have the right property tax or not. Sometimes you can just go online and research the property tax for a specific address where equipment is located and see how much the county or city or state charged and compare that with what the leasing company charges you. Use tax, you also need to audit that. Use tax is the tax paid on the monthly payment. We were brought in to audit another company and found out that the leasing company showed their equipment was in the wrong location. Do you look, here's again, look and make sure that all of your equipment on the lease is, you identify that it's in the proper location because use tax is charged not on where corporate headquarters is, but where the equipment is located. We found savings for one client of $15,000. His headquarters was in Overland Park, Kansas, but his distribution center was in Kansas City, Missouri. Over the life of the lease, they were being overcharged by the leasing company for equipment that was identified to be at headquarters, and it really was in another state in another city. You have to audit your first three invoices. That's where I find a lot of errors from the leasing company. There may be things that pop up on those leases, so either your accounting department needs to look at it or you all need to check it. I see things like documentation fees that were inaccurate, interim rent, insurance, again, use tax or property tax, but usually not property tax in the first three invoices, but use tax. Although it could be property tax, some leasing companies will charge you property tax 1/12th every month, which is wrong. Don't let them do that. Serial number matches. Some lease contracts say you, when you want to return the equipment, all the serial numbers must match, which means if you've had equipment repaired during the life of the lease, and the manufacturer or the service company returns a different serial number, you have to notify the leasing company that the numbers have changed. I'm going to take a sip of water here. Excuse me. Thank you. Serial numbers have to match unless you negotiate that requirement out of the lease. So we recommend take that out of the lease. Some of the leases also say you must return all of the original cords and manuals and usage books. Take that out of the lease. They really don't want the manuals and all of this usage information on your copiers. They are just going to throw it in the trash. They don't need it. Take it out of the document. Also, something here called the standard lease, which I say, nope, there's no such thing. There's no such thing as a standard lease. All leases are negotiable, and no lease is like another lease. I'm going to ask you to insert the word insurance here. Make sure that the leasing company is not billing you for insurance. One of my clients had to every month audit her first seven invoices because the leasing company continued to bill her $400 a month for insurance on a small piece of equipment. That's inappropriate. You should put that coverage from your existing insurance provider. That covers this equipment. I'm going to clear my voice again. Excuse me. Thank you. Lease speak essentials. We're coming down to the last 3 to 4 minutes here, so we have time for questions. I had a book of changes when I was with one leasing company. I was there for 6 years. I hardly ever opened the book. It was all the pre-approved changes that our legal department had documented that I could make in the leases. But what we found out was that very few clients changed anything that had anything to do with the dollars and cents. They had their lawyers review the leases, but they really seldom asked me, Mary, I think this documentation fee is too much. Could we change that to like $100? If only you had asked. And that's part of why I started my company, was that customers seldom asked me for all the changes. They didn't negotiate very well. And so I decided I needed to be on the other side of the table to help you all negotiate better contracts. That's why I began this. So make those leasing companies open their books of changes. You all are better than almost anybody I've ever found at doing that, at forcing changes. Document it. If you don't document every communication you have with the leasing company by certified mail, it's probably not going to happen. If it isn't in writing, if you don't have proof that you sent it to the leasing company and they received it, it didn't happen. So always send all things certified. Forget about emails. Forget about faxes. They don't happen. There's no tracking. And when I come to track it, here is a list of 10 things that are contained in your lease that must be tracked. And this is something you should put on your checklist. When you create your own checklist, end of lease notices, if you don't track when you have to give notice, it's going to cost you money. Check your payoff against your contracts. Make sure that your payoff language agrees with what they're quoting you at the end of the lease. We created a form to help us make sure that everything happens when the lease payoff is quoted to us and that they don't just lump it all into one big number. You have to track property tax reporting. When is it to be reported? Are they charging you every month? They shouldn't be. You want to know that the use tax, make sure that all of your equipment is shown in the correct location. You also have to track if the leasing company gave you an early buyout option or an early termination option, that you know exactly when you have to deliver that notice that you want to take advantage of it. If equipment's damaged, you have usually 30 days or less to notify the leasing company if it's damaged. If there's any change of ownership in your corporation, you have to notify the leasing company, and in some cases, you have to get their most cases on ownership, you have to get their permission. If you relocate equipment, you must give them notice. If you pay your payment late, you're going to have a late fee, so you have to track making payments on time. If you change your insurance coverage, you have to notify them in advance. Those are 10 places you have to track notices given. Now, here's the last meaty slide, and it's called lease or buy. Now, after you've heard all the things I've told you, how could you do a lease versus buy analysis? I had a call last week from a fellow named Ken Caprell from Honeywell, from ISM, and he said, well, I want to do a lease versus buy. Well, Ken, a couple of rules I have. Negotiate the equipment price separately. Don't get it all mixed up with the lease payments. Talk to the next one is useful life. Make sure that your useful life of the equipment agrees with the lease term that you're going to have quoted. Make sure your maintenance costs are in order, and that if you're going to keep the equipment a long time, that you've added all those maintenance costs into the extension of the lease or after the lease is over. Also, keep your if you keep the equipment too long, your cost to maintain it goes up. So that goes into your lease versus buy. Disposal costs, what's it going to cost you to get rid of this equipment, to ship it back to the leasing company? Or you say, well, we're going to give it to our employees. You come into a lot of problems, especially if you sell it to your employees or give it to your employees, if it's technology equipment and it ends up in the city dump. Because the leasing company filed those serial numbers on that equipment. And if it's found in the dump, the only proof probably on record is the UCC filings that show that your company owns the equipment. You want to compare the lease versus a loan on it, and that's pretty simple. You're all doing that. But what's the value of missed gotchas on the lease? You have to add that in. And another thing we recommend is that you really do a leasing RFP so that you have a better case to do a lease versus buy. We have a free white paper on our website, it's an RFP guide, and it has 6 guides for what goes into a good leasing RFP. So the last one here is, what's my rate? And this one says, gee, I got a lease, it's $2,867. What is my real rate? If I were doing a lease versus buy analysis, maybe I'd say, well, it looks like we got a 7.5% deal. But did you take into consideration one payment was paid in advance? Well, no, okay, so it's only an 8% deal. First and last payment were taken in advance, remember that security deposit? Well, now your rate's almost 8.5%. Something that we didn't have time to cover was interim rent, and maybe that fair market value purchase option that you thought was going to be about 10% because that's what the salesman told you turns out to be 20%. Now your rate is almost 14.5%. And then, oh my gosh, we didn't track that lease, the last one. We didn't track it. It renewed for 3 months. The fair market value was that awful 20%. Now my rate's 17.6%. So when you're trying to do a lease versus buy, if you don't have good lease management, if you don't negotiate all the gotchas out, what looked like a 7.5% deal in your analysis could be 17.6. So in summary, when you read the fine print, you don't like it, but read it 3 times. Start creating these checklists of all the documents that should be in the lease package, and if they're not, you make the leasing company give them to you. Create a checklist of all the problem areas in the lease and make sure that you have read those problem areas in the lease once, at least twice. Remember, the tips we gave you today should save you 5 to 15% on every lease. But what if your company leases $1 million and something you learned today saved you 1%? Well, that's pretty big dollars. So with the 21 tips we gave you, we hope that you're able to save your company money, save time, valuable time, and reduce your frustration of all the stuff on your list. If you liked what you learned today and you say, well, I want to bring my savings up to 5%, maybe you invite us in to do, invite me in to do a program. Like recently I've been to Denver and did a day seminar. I went to San Antonio, invited for a lovely event down in San Antonio and spoke to their ISM affiliate. I've been to Omaha and did a workshop there. So if you want to learn more, you can give me a call or check out my website. And now I think it's time for our questions. We've got about 10 minutes left. Or I might say I'll be at the ISM conference in 2009 in Charlotte. So if I don't hear from you before then, I'll look forward to seeing you in Charlotte. Thank you.
Mary, thank you very much for this informative presentation. But before we get started with the Q&A session, I just want to mention two items to everybody. One, ISM will be sending out a short survey regarding today's chat session. And we would really appreciate it if you would complete the survey, as this will help us to learn more about your needs so the ISM Services Council can better service you in the future. And then the second item is today's chat session is worth one ISM Continuing Education Hour credit. So if you'd like to obtain the credit and the respective certificate, you can send an email to Lynn Marsteller, who is the person that sent you the email regarding today's presentation, as well as the announcement for today's chat session. So you can just reply to that respective email, and I'll also give you her email address. It's lmarstiller at ism.ws. All right, so now we'll start the Q&A session. And to ask a question, you press star 8 on your touch tone phone. And it usually just takes a few seconds for the first question to get in the queue.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Alan Howell. This is a very interesting presentation and very well thought out. One other thing I'd just like to add is a comment, not a question, that if you are going to be responsible for a significant part of your firm's leasing, it also pays to go to one of the leasing courses offered for four persons on the other side of the desk, i.e. the lessors. They're widely available, and they do accept lessees on because they recognize how much an advantage is when you're talking like terms in transactions like this. Thanks.
Lynn, are there any questions in the queue?
Hello. I was wondering where exactly was that white paper located that you mentioned towards the end of your presentation?
On the RFP. It's at www.leasespeak.com. It's the address that's on your presentation. Email, it'll have a link there. It'll say email us, and we will email it back to you. So it's a white paper with 6 points on what to put into a good RFP. Great question. Thank you. So it's www.leasespeak.com.
Hello. This is Fred Ledbetter, LifeNet Health in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Mary, I know you've been in this business for quite a while, and you know, we're running into some different things with economic conditions the way they are. Do you really see any major impact this is going to have, maybe on rates or you know, the leasing companies in general? And how is it going to affect us trying to save a little bit of money?
Great question, Fred, and thank you. If you read the paper yesterday, it says GE Capital is doing some restructuring in their company, and there will be a lot of layoffs. I heard from a fellow that is an old friend of mine from GE, and he says, I don't know if I'll have a job on Monday. They're starting their layoffs. So when GE lays off, and GE is one of the leasing companies I work for, and one of the biggest in the industry, and a fine company, they're going to be doing restructuring. I heard one rumor. Well, I shouldn't even repeat a rumor. Excuse me. But those indicate difficult times, and there will be. I don't see any decrease. I actually see an increase in the demand from the customer's perspective because loans are going to be harder to get, and so more people will be exploring new alternatives such as leasing, which means more is going to be asked of each of you if your companies have not done leasing in the past, and now management says, we're going to check out leasing. We're not going to be paying cash for so much equipment. So I think there will be an increased demand, but at the same time, I think there will be more difficult credit standards. I think that some companies, and I've written an article, or I'm working on an article right now on it, companies will have to present their picture more in more detail when they go out for a lease, especially for large dollars. And so your credit application may have to involve a lot more justification as to why the company needs the assets, what your plan is for it, how you are going to make those payments, and then if your company has had any what we might call financial hiccups in the past, you better be ready, someone in your organization, to justify the request based on changes management has made in the company that will change the financial picture and improve it. So my opinion is we'll have higher demand, but we may have higher declines in terms of credit quality. The leasing industry is seeing an increase in a performance on leases. That means people aren't making payments as well. Rate-wise, rates continue to drop. I know the Fed's talking about dropping rates, so it's going to be a very challenging time, and more will be asked of each of you when you negotiate these leases. I think from your position, Fred, I know you're a marvelous negotiator, but you're probably going to have to be sharper to get all the concessions that you used to get when you go into a lease negotiation. So I hope that answers it. We're going to see some interesting times. More will be asked of everyone. I would like to say also, just a reminder, this call has been recorded, and it will, I believe Fred said, it will be posted up on the ISM services site, he told me yesterday. So if you'd like to have others in your organization who haven't heard this call, weren't available for it, they can download it. You can listen to it. I will also have it on my website. We're hosting it also, and so we will have it available on our site. Any more questions?
There are two more.
Hi, I'm Michelle Cooper. I'm from Columbia. And you had mentioned earlier about negotiate during the lease, because I have some leases that I don't necessarily like the terms and conditions that was agreed to. How do I do that? Especially since we're not writing new leases with these companies.
Oh, and you're not, you don't have the leverage that you would like to have by saying, well, we're going to be giving you new business.
Right.
You want to be careful if they suggest that they rewrite them all, because what they will usually do is take all the remaining payments and then refinance it. Now, all the remaining payments, if think of a lease like a loan, you've got principal and interest in there, so they're rolling all the old principal and interest together and rewriting them. If it's financial, is it financial or service reasons you want to rewrite, Michelle?
She's dropped off.
Oh, okay. If it's service issues, it means you may want to terminate the relationship with the leasing company. But if it's financial reasons, you can rewrite them, but make sure that the old payment amounts are discounted to the current date. So get discounted amounts on the old payments and then look at refinancing, and then some leasing companies will rewrite the terms. I did go through a negotiation in an acquisition. That was our reason. And the leasing company, which did happen to be very responsive, renegotiated all the terms with us. So we saved that client. It was a small client, but we saved him $33,000 in the renegotiation of those terms.
Okay, there is one more question. Shall I send that up?
Yep.
Hi, Mary. It's Jeff Wright calling from Ottawa. Just had a quick question about adding equipment to a lease. We're in a situation where we're implementing by regions.
Mm-hmm.
And down the road, if we decide we wanted to add a piece of equipment to that, we came up with two options. One, to start a new lease, or a new 4 or 5 year lease on a specific piece of equipment, or add it to the current one, which would be coterminous, but you pay the full lease amount over a shorter period of time. Is that a standard clause, and is there a way around that?
Great question, Jeff. Great. Coterminous is often what is suggested, because then it's nice that they all terminate at the same time. So it's a very common practice. Depending upon the technology involved in your acquisition, a 4 or 5 year might not be appropriate. So the coterminous serves as a very good tool there. I would be cautious that you watch the pricing on it. Sometimes coterminous can be a little trickier to analyze. So you might call me offline about it, and I can give you a couple more tips on it, because coterminous can be good, but some leasing companies get a little tricky there. And I think my phone number is on the slide presentation, but be glad to just answer your questions offline, Jeff.
Okay, there are no more questions in the queue.
All right, so at this time, I just want to say thank you to all the participants. We hope that you found this chat session of value. And I would like to especially thank Mary for taking the time to share with us this informative information about leasing. Mary, thank you so much. I think you did a very wonderful job.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to share it with the group.
Thanks, everyone. Look, we will be having another chat session coming up in December, so please look for announcements coming out in a few weeks with the topic as well as the speaker. Thanks so much. Bye now.